Thanks for listening to the Inner Life Podcast. Be sure to join us every weekday at 11 a.m. Central on Relevant Radio or on the Relevant Radio app. Find your local Relevant Radio station at relevantradio.com or stream us live every day on the Relevant Radio app.
It's time to set out on the pathway to healing and light. This is the Inner Life on Relevant Radio. If you have questions or concerns about your faith journey, if you are struggling or searching for something more, if you are in need of some spiritual direction, our Catholic priests are here to help.
One heart at a time.
Welcome to the Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
Hello, once again, welcome to this hour of the Inner Life, our hour dedicated to spiritual direction here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm Josh Raymond. Glad to have you here with us today. Did you ever have that experience where you learned, probably after the fact, that someone was doing something for you without you ever knowing it? They were quietly helping you, assisting you some way in the background there, in a way that you didn't even know maybe that you needed that help. When I was 9 years old, in the spring semester of my third grade year, our family, we moved to a new town. And we had different relatives that lived in this city or in other towns that were close by. And I continued the rest of my third grade year at this new school then in that community, Centennial Elementary. And one of my relatives that lived in the same community, only about four blocks down the road from our house, was my mom's sister, my Aunt Linda. Linda was a principal at another school in the city. And she had been a teacher there in that community for many years, knew most of the other teachers in the town and the staff at other schools, including many of the teachers at the school that I was now attending. And as is the case with most small children and their parents, it was typical that after getting home from school in the afternoons, my mom, she'd ask about my day. How was school? What did you learn? Do you have any homework tonight? And I don't remember any of the specific conversations that I might have had. I just remember kind of as a whole, that was the routine. But I'd tell her about what happened at school, go on with the rest of my afternoon and my evening. Now, I didn't learn about this until many years later. After I was an adult with my own children, this is when I learned about it. But apparently in those after-school conversations with my mom, those conversations I didn't really give much thought to after the fact, if I mentioned there was another kid at school that was maybe being mean to me, had been picking on me. Later on, my mom, she'd pick up the phone, she'd give a call to my Aunt Linda. And then Linda, she'd contact one of those teachers that she knew at my school. And she'd ask them, just quietly keep an eye on whoever that kid was that might be picking on Josh. Just to make sure I was okay. Make sure that the teasing or the bullying, you know, it didn't get too far, didn't get out of hand. It wasn't beyond something I could handle on my own. They were on the lookout in case they needed to get involved. I had no idea in third or fourth or fifth grade that my mom and my aunt were doing this kind of behind the scenes there to watch out for me. Now, I think that we all might experience something similar when our life on this earth is over, when we stand before God in eternity. I suspect we're going to be amazed to learn how Mary worked behind the scenes in so many ways to help us along in our spiritual journey, ultimately leading and guiding us to her son. So if we develop that devotion, that relationship here with her now, more than just the things that we actively pray for, I think Mary as our spiritual mother, our blessed mother, I think we might discover that she's been looking out for us, caring for us in many ways, ways that we didn't even know that maybe we needed. Well, today on The Inner Life, we want to talk about the prayer. We want to talk about praying the rosary, but also talk about prayer in general, praying directly to God, turning to Mary for her intercession, and how God responds at different times in different ways to our prayer, how we can pray better. And joining us as our spiritual director for the hour today, Father Rocky is here with us. Father Rocky is a priest of Opus Dei. He's the chairman and CEO of Relevant Radio, and of course, a very familiar voice. You hear him every day, each evening at 7 p.m. Central on the Family Rosary across America. Father, it's a delight to have you in the studio here with me.
Josh, it's great to be with you, and I think in all my years, this is the first time I've been on The Inner Life for an entire hour, I hope our ratings don't plunge.
Well, that would be more on my shoulders, I think, than yours. I think people are going to be very interested to hear what you have to say. So Family Rosary Across America, maybe we can start there as we begin our conversation about prayer. And this was something, you had this dream of having a radio program, a radio broadcast daily. I remember this years ago, you talking
sure.
about this, where people could gather together and pray the rosary as this kind of virtual family together each evening. Where did that come from? Where did that start? Why was that this vision you had?
So, you know, you could unpack that in a lot of different ways. I know growing up as a kid, we prayed the rosary as a family in my house growing up. I don't know if we did it every night or if we just did it certain times of the year. It could have been just in the month of October, which is the month of the rosary. But when I was a teenager and I joined Opus Dei as a celibate member, I wasn't thinking of the priesthood yet at that time. It became very familiar to me that we would pray the rosary on a daily basis. And over the years, doing youth work, which I did for a better part of 30, 35 years, it was always kind of a standard part of the program, whether it be a ski trip or a service project down the central mountains of Mexico or a retreat. You know, we'd pray the daily rosary. And I found that the daily rosary was something very adaptable to circumstances. You could pray it on a ski lift going up the hill. You could pray it while you're climbing a mountain. You could pray it in the van as you're driving across the country. You could pray it around the campfire. You didn't have to pray it on your knees in front of the Blessed Sacrament. That's a great thing, but most people won't have that opportunity on a daily basis. But you know, it's very portable. And I just thought, well, this would be a great thing to do. And so early on, we would have a family rosary novena leading up to Christmas,
right.
The 90s of Christmas. And that started because my early years here at Relay Radio, I was spending those days before Christmas traveling around the Midwest visiting people, and we'd have a lot of parties. And I liked to play the piano. We'd sing sing-alongs, and it was like I'm celebrating Christmas too much before Christmas. I need to dial it down. I need to do something spiritual, and I don't want to do all this traveling. So I'm going to lock myself down to our studios in Park Ridge. We're going to invite families in each evening, two, three, four, five families, and we'll have some Christmas cookies and Christmas cheer, and we'll pray the rosary together, and we'll open the phones for phone calls. And people immediately resonated with it. They said, wow, what a great way to prepare for Christmas, gather the family together, and we'll pray. But I never thought I could do this on a daily basis because of all my responsibilities. And then when we had the merger with Mac and Heart Radio on the West Coast, we had a need to do something at the 5 p.m. hour West Coast time, and you know, various circumstances sort of coalesced, and it seemed like the solution was to do the Family Rosary Across America Live. We had Father Dave Heaney, who's the pastor of St. Bruno's Parish, I believe that is, in Whittier, California.
That's right.
And I was there for the very first broadcast. We set him up with a studio in his rectory, worked out very well for him, 5 p.m. California time. After that, he could have dinner, and after that, he can do you know his activities for the parish in the evening. And Karen Moran was the co-host out of our Sacramento studios, and it went very well for several years. And I remember driving home at night, sometimes from Green Bay to Chicago, listening to it on the FM station. I said, well, this is great, just what I wanted. But then when COVID shut everything down, 2 years ago, I went up to Green Bay because I said, we need to keep the Mass live. We're going to do it at noon because people couldn't go to church.
Yeah.
And I figured, well, I can't travel. I might as well just host the rosary in the evening since I'm here in the chapel anyway. And let's stream it on video because we're already doing that time delay. And it turned out to be immensely popular and useful to people. And it continues to be that way, right? So the rosary, I think, above all, is a prayer of petition. Oh, you could meditate on the mysteries, and that's a good thing to do. It's not so much adoration. You could pray it as reparation, because there are four ends to end prayer, P-A-R-T, petition, adoration, reparation, thanksgiving. You could do the rosary in thanksgiving. You could do it in reparation, I suppose, but not really adoration. But I think it's mostly a petition. When we say, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us now at the hour of our death. Amen. But I liked how you set this up, telling about third grade, Aunt Linda, mom,
yeah.
and the union of teachers conspiring to help Josh Raymond have a good experience there. It's true. Parents don't tell us everything. They don't lie to us, but they don't tell us everything. And they want to protect their kids. And I thought that's a great analogy for how the Blessed Mother does things behind the scenes.
Right.
And this is what I like about the second the luminous mystery, the wedding feast at Cana. All we know from St. John's Gospel is that Mary said to Jesus, "They have no wine." And our Lord responds, "Woman, what do you want me to do about it? It's not my time." And Our Lady, with great detachment, says to the servants here, "Do whatever he tells you." And those five words are the only five words of advice of the Blessed Mother that are recorded in sacred scriptures. But nothing else has to be recorded. Do whatever he tells you. It's really Christ-centered. And I like to think about that. We're told that the Mother Mary was there, and Jesus and his disciples. St. John doesn't say Jesus and his apostles, because there were 12 apostles. There were 72 disciples. Now, I've been to weddings before. I'm sure you've been to weddings. And usually when you get invitations, for you and a guest, right? Mm-hmm. You never get a wedding invitation when you bring 72 friends. So here comes Jesus with the 72 disciples and maybe 12 apostles. So 72, 84, and him, 85. And Our Lady's probably thinking, oh my goodness, this is going to be a disaster. Here they come, they're hungry. They eat everything in the house, they're going to drink everything. They're a bunch of fishermen. And she's the one who notices that they're out of wine, because Our Lady's attentive, right, as a good mother, a good friend, and she sees a potentially awkward situation, and she brings it to the attention of Jesus, and we know what happens, right? And I'd like to think Our Lady from heaven is watching over us as well, anticipating what we need, because she certainly has that spirit of service. We see that in the second joyful mystery, the Visitation.
Absolutely.
I love that. In the Gospel of Luke, one moment we hear that Mary has been— it's been announced to her that she'd be the mother of God, and that her cousin Elizabeth, who's advanced in years, is now in her 6th month. The next thing we know, Our Lady is hightailing it from the north of Galilee down to Judea to help her cousin, and she wasn't asked to do so. At least it's not recorded in the Gospel that she was asked to do so. I think our Blessed Mother is a 14, 15-year-old, and back then a 14, 15-year-old girl was very mature, right? They were used to taking care of the house and cooking and cleaning and all the rest.
Practically middle age at that time of history.
Yes. You know, very responsible. She put two and two together and said, you know, my cousin Elizabeth needs help. And so she went down there and helped for 3 months, right? What did she do? Cooking, cleaning, and house care and all the rest. And imagine, you know, Josh, if somebody came to your office, knocked on the door and said, "Hey, Josh, knock, knock. Yeah, could you help me for 30 seconds? Right now? Yes. Just 30 seconds. Okay, I can do 30 seconds. You know, Josh, could you help me for 3 minutes? Like right now? Yes. 3 minutes? Just three. Okay. Now, what if somebody said, could you help me for 30 minutes? No, you're going to have to make an appointment. Can you help me for 3 months? Are you out of your mind? I'll have to plan that 5 years in advance. And that's what Our Lady did. She helped out for 3 months. Now, we can tend to think, well, you know, teenagers back then, they didn't have much to do. They didn't have smartphones. They didn't have to take driver's lessons. They didn't have to take courses to prepare for the SAT or the ACT, and they weren't on the volleyball team. They didn't have much to do. They had more to do back then than today, because they were up before the sun rose and they were to bed after the sunset, cooking and cleaning and fetching the water, and life was hard. But Our Lady made herself available to help. And that's a very inspiring story, that second joyful mystery of the Visitation. So yes, I think Our Lady from heaven, because she's our mother, is watching out for us, and she can pull strings. And as queen of the angels and queens of the saints, she can tell them what to do.
Talking today with Father Rocky, our CEO and chairman of the board here at Relevant Radio, a priest of Opus Dei, talking about prayer, praying the rosary. We're also going to talk about prayer in general and how God responds to us when we pray to him. And also want to open up the phone lines for your call, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Do you pray the rosary regularly? Do you pray it daily? Maybe you've prayed along with Father Rocky on the Family Rosary across America in the evenings. How has it helped to transform you? Has it helped you grow in certain virtues? Has it helped you to become maybe a more patient person, to grow in purity and chastity, maybe to overcome an addiction? Have you seen a miracle because of Mary's intercession in your life? Maybe you have a question about prayer and how you should be approaching prayer in your own life so that you can be better in your prayer, so that you can enter in deep, a more deep fashion in the way that you interact with God. 888-914-9149. Father, let's also talk about that word prayer or praying. When we talk about that as Catholics, for a lot of non-Catholic Christians, it can become a bit of a confusing point. For Protestants, for evangelicals, when we talk about praying, it can be conflated with worship, with adoration. And while worship and adoration, as you talked about, the different ends of prayer, it can be part of prayer. When we talk about worship and adoration, it's directed solely, exclusively to God, one of the three persons,
right, or all three. Sure.
With Mary, with any of the saints, there might be devotion and love, but there's not the same sort of worship that we give. That's an important distinction for Catholics.
Of course it is. Right. So you can get into some sort of theological technical jargon here, but God is the only one we worship and God is the only one we adore. We don't adore saints. We don't worship saints. Although if you were to say to your wife, Josh, honey, I adore you, and she's a good Catholic, she would say, you shouldn't use that word.
Right. Adore, you heretic.
And I'm willing to bet any Protestant out there, if you say to your wife, honey, I adore you, she won't say, no, you better not say that because that is that you only adore God, right? So we use words in different ways, right? So if we want to unpack and kind of get technical about it, no, of course, we don't adore saints. We don't worship saints. And there's different type of veneration to the saints, dulia and hyperdulia. Have you heard of those distinctions before?
Yeah.
So I don't want to get people too confused here. But prayer, what is prayer? Prayer is talking to God. That's kind of the way St. Josemaria would unpack it. He says to pray is to talk with God. About what? About what? Well, about him, about you, about your dreams, about your desires, about your successes, about your failures. In short, to get to know him and get to know yourself. Now, there is prayer, which is a repetition of preset formulas. The most famous one is the Lord's Prayer. This is what Jesus taught us. The Hail Mary is a preset formula, the Glory Be, or Psalms or things like that. Very similar to songs we sing in worship or at Mass. And then there's conversation, which is not a preset formula. And sometimes prayer is just looking at God and God looking at him. That's the way St. John Vianney, the Curie of Ars, would describe his prayer. I look at him and he looks at me.
Right.
I just like to be in the presence of God. And there's a lot to that, right? But it's basic when it comes down to it. It's time and attention given to another person, just like we do that with people we love, our friends, our family, our spouses. And, you know, we can, in that conversation, we talk about all sorts of things, and from time to time we have to ask for things that we need, spiritually or materially. And that deepens the conversation with God, and that's what he's looking for, that conversation, that time spent with him. And what's amazing is when we spend time with God, it doesn't decrease the time we can dedicate to other things which are also important, because God is continually creating time and spending and giving us time. So
I think part of that, too, is also it helps us maybe have a better sense of priorities in our life. The things that we did think were important when we weren't spending time in prayer, when we've spent that more time with God, it helps us to reorganize the things that are important in
life. It's like in any relationship, if you don't spend time with people,
it's not going to grow.
It's not going to grow.
Yeah.
In fact, you drift apart, right? So that's very important for married couples, very important for families to spend time together. I know this one family, they've been blessed with many children, and their Lenten practice is they turn the TV off for Lent. And the dad tells me, it's never a happier time of the year when the TV's off because they're spending time with each other. We're talking, right? And very important. And the same thing applies to God. We need to spend time with God to deepen our relationship with him. And in that time of prayer, we can meditate on his words. We can read the sacred scriptures. We can just sit in his presence and say, Lord, I'm here for you. We can also tell him our needs. Or tell them the needs of other people. And we hear that every night in the Family Rosary across America. People are waiting in line to get in, and they want us to pray for their intentions. Often it's a health intention. Often it's for somebody else. It could be for a house, though. It could be for to get pregnant, have a baby. It could be to meet the right guy so you could get married. But Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. And I tell people, if it isn't open, just keep knocking. Just keep knocking.
Yeah.
Right? Like the widow who wouldn't leave that just judge alone. Just do me good, do me good, do me good. And finally, guy says, I'll do it for another reason to get you out of here, right? So we keep bugging God, and I think that's good for us, good part of the way we deepen our relationship with him.
Well, let's pick up on that in just a moment here, Father. I also, when we come back, let's talk about, there's an event coming up that we can invite listeners to participate in, where they can not only be a part of Marian Devotion, but participate with people all across the country. So let's discuss that when we come back. Again, want to give out the phone number here. If you're listening, Father Rocky, our CEO and chairman here at Relevant Radio, is our spiritual director on The Inner Life today, and our number is 888-914-9149. As we talk about prayer and how we can grow in that relationship with God, what has helped you in your prayer life? What has helped to foster that relationship? And how have you seen yourself grow in holiness to know and love and serve God better in your life? 888-914-9149. And we'll be right back here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Today, we'd like to thank Elizabeth, who's listening in Washington, for donating her Volvo. You can join thousands of other listeners in donating your old vehicle by visiting relevantradio.com/car. Welcome back to The Inner Life here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm Josh Raymond, and today talking about prayer, praying the rosary, praying, asking for Mary's intercession in our life, praying directly to God, and also taking your phone calls at 888-914-9149. As today we're talking with Father Rocky. He's our spiritual director for the hour, a priest of Opus Dei, a regular voice that you hear on the Family Rosary across America each evening at 7 p.m. Central here on Relevant Radio. And of course, he's our chairman and CEO here at Relevant Radio. And again, the phone number you can call in to join the conversation, 888-914-9149. Father, I mentioned there's a way that people are going to be able to participate in kind of a pilgrimage, a way to show devotion and love to Our Lady, to pray together with other people from all across the country. And that's coming up here in, about a week and a half, a little less than a week and a half, May 7th. There's the Walk to Mary. Can you tell us a little about that?
Sure. So not too far from Green Bay, there is a shrine of the Blessed Mother called Our Lady of Good Help, H-E-L-P. I never heard it before 2009 when I started working for Relevant Radio. Long story short, Our Lady appeared there in 1859, and that apparition was approved by Bishop Ricken back in 2010. When he did that, I said, it'd be good if somebody organizes an annual walking pilgrimage to that shrine from the headquarters of Relevant Radio in Green Bay all the way out to the shrine 20 miles away. And I thought that was the last I'd ever heard of it because I said, it's my idea, but I'm not taking responsibility for this. This was at a men's conference, and I think I've told the story a couple times before. But anyway, it found the hearts of two men there, Tom Schmidt and Pat Depre, and they got a bunch of other volunteers. And this will be the 9th annual Walk to Mary. 3,000 to 4,000 people come out to it. And it's a variation, a theme of what believers have been doing since the time of Abraham. Abraham went walking with his son Isaac to the Mount Moriah, right, which was a holy place to offer a sacrifice to the Lord. And at the time of the birth of Jesus, three kings, magi, walked for the better part of 2 years to follow that star to a sacred place, which was Bethlehem, where Jesus was born. And then in the time of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, they would make a yearly pilgrimage as a family, not just them, but all of the Jewish people, down to the temple in Jerusalem. And that was a long pilgrimage. That took better part of a week to walk there, better part of a week to walk back. And then in the Middle Ages, Christians would walk to sacred places like Santiago de Compostela, where the relics of St. James in the northwest of Spain, or to Rome, which were the tombs of St. Peter and St. Paul, or they would sail the Mediterranean and then walk the rest of the way to Jerusalem or to Bethlehem and Nazareth. And then the time of St. John Paul II, he sort of went on worldwide pilgrimages, going to holy places and convoking the people. So it's kind of in our heart as Christians that in the springtime, in May, the month of Mary, it's good to make one of these kind of penitential pilgrimages to some shrine where the Blessed Mother is venerated. And we encourage people to come to this shrine because it's unique in the United States, the only approved one. I know it's a bit of a distance if you don't live in the Midwest, but you can do something in your own area. You know, there's shrines, wherever there have been Christians, there are shrines to Our Lady. You know, there's shrines in the lower Rio Grande Valley right now. They're listening to us on our FM stations in Brownsville and McAllen. I think it's a San Juan de Lago shrine down there.
Okay.
And here in Chicago, you've got Our Lady of Guadalupe in Des Plaines. You have Marytown up in Libertyville. Down in Indiana, you've got the Shrine of Christ's Passion with a new plaza to Our Lady of Guadalupe. You have shrines out in New Jersey, all over the place, right? The shrines, right?
Yeah.
So it's a great thing to do. I encourage people to do. They can find out all about it at walktomary.com.
Now, they don't have to walk the full 21 miles either.
No. You do whatever you want. You can do 21. Yeah. You can do 14. You can do 7. You can do 2. All right? Do it. But if you're in reasonably good shape, you actually can walk the 21 miles, but what you'll do is read the directions, get moleskin for your feet so you don't get blisters and change your socks every 7 miles and just keep moving. Bring a couple of Advils, you know, take an Advil every 7 miles and you'll be great. You'll be tired the next day and sore, but you can do it. And if people can't do it, they have emergency medical personnel. They've got water along the way. They've got food. They've got police and fire personnel and EMS. And then a bus in the back to pick up any of the stragglers. So it's really well done. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. What's been the biggest benefit for you in doing that several years?
Biggest benefit is that I actually could do it. I said, I'm not as fat and out of shape as I thought I was, right? But no, it's just like you totally unplug for the day, right? There are no phone calls. There are no emails. You're at the mercy of God in terms of the weather. You meet new people, and it's a full body, soul, mind, and heart experience, right? It's not just something imaginary, right? You really have to put your whole body, mind, and soul. And Jesus used to do that all the time, right? I mean, walking 20 miles is no sweat for him and the apostles. They would do that, and they'd go up the mountain. They were tough folks.
They were walking everywhere, I know.
They were walking everywhere, right?
Thin little sandals.
Yeah, and they somehow did it. So I think that's it. And then I love to see all the people come to the shrine, the young people and not so young people and the new people and people from all over the country who hear about it on Relevant Radio. And it's fun. It's actually fun. Seeing all those people and doing it.
It's really well organized, too. Oh, I mean, they've got security. Yeah. They've got, bathrooms, porta potties along the way.
Yep.
They've got, the route is mapped out very easily. Like you said, there's even advice and directions on the website where you can learn more about it. I'll give that again. Walktomary.com is the website if you'd like to learn more. Walktomary.com.
But it's also the miracles you hear, you know. I've met people along the way who said, I'm doing this pilgrimage for a very special reason. Young lady had 5 miscarriages and no children. And she went and did the Walk to Mary. A year later, she had a healthy baby. Mm. I know of 3 of those right now, right? I know other people that they found the grace there for forgiveness or for repentance. They found the grace there to become detached from their addictions to drugs and alcohol. Found people who found the grace and humility to reunite in their marriages and their families. Other people have discovered their vocation doing something like that. It's physically demanding, and that's, carrying the cross is physically demanding, right? So that's all good. Walktomary.com is where you can find out more about it.
Father, let's also talk about, as we're talking about those miracles. One miracle that we've been praying for several years is for the end of legalized abortion here in the U.S.
Right.
We have an hourly memorare that's prayed on the air here every single day on Relevant Radio. And we are at a point where potentially it looks like those prayers might be answered here in some fashion, even if it's not the complete abolition of abortion legally, but boy, it looks like it might be headed in that direction with a Supreme Court case.
I remember the first time I heard the word abortion, I was an 8th grader. It was 1973, November of 1973, so I was 13 years old. I came down for breakfast. My mom said, "You're not going to school today." I said, "Great, where are we going?" I thought we were going to take grandma out for lunch. So now we're going to college in Lake County because there's going to be a debate there about what the Supreme Court of the United States is discussing. And, my parents are always plugged into the news. In our house, we didn't really talk about weather and sports. We talked about religion and politics, literature, Dostoevsky, and world matters.
Dostoevsky, right? Specifically.
You know, those are the kind of things we talked about, right?
The very good.
Parents were readers. And so we're going to go out there because they're having a presentation about the Supreme Court. I said, what's it about? She said, it's about abortion. And I said, what's abortion? I didn't know. I was 13 years old. And she told me what abortion is. And I remember my reaction. I was stunned. I said, they can't do that in America, can they? And she said, well, we're about to find out, right? So that was like end of the age of innocence, right? Because by the time I went to public high school, I knew of people in these situations, right? And I said, well, this is just fundamentally wrong. It's terrible. You can't kill an innocent child. Man, there's, you know, there's no other way about it, right? But here we are 40 years later, 50 years later, and we are still trying to get justice and protection for these unborn human beings who are defenseless, right? And it certainly is the work of the devil. And by saying that, I'm not trying to demonize people who are persuaded that this is a good thing, because I think people are really persuaded it's a good thing, right? So I've been convinced for a long time we need God's help, right? We need God's help to take the scales from our eyes, right? And I've also been convinced for a long time that prayer is more powerful than politics. The default is always to politics or agitation or promotion or demonstration, thing like that. And all of that has its place, right? But fundamentally, what can change human history is prayer and the powerful intercession of Blessed Mother in human events. That's why I wrote that book a couple years ago, Mary at the Crossroads of History.
Right.
So I am hopeful that with all the prayer we've been doing on air, and we've had more than 50 bishops and cardinals pray the memory on air, and show hosts and children, and with this 405-day Rosary Novena, I can't say it with a straight face because it sounds nuts. A 405-day Rosary Novena. And I never used to be into novenas before Relevant Radio.
Is that
right? I mean, I prayed, I believed in Our Lady and the Rosary and St. Joseph, but, you know, when I got here, I said, man, we got to pull a rabbit out of our hat. We need miracles. That's all there is to it. And we're going to make sure everybody in heaven hears our prayers. We're just going to beat them down. Beat them down with prayer. And then, you know, if God doesn't answer the prayers the way we want, I'm still at peace with that because he's God, but I know he heard. You know, how can you not hear 150,000 people praying the rosary every night? Mm-hmm. How can you not hear that? All right? You're going to hear that. Now, if he's going to move – now, human beings are still free, right? They don't have to obey God. They don't have to do the right thing, right? But at least we've done our part. And we'll carry on with joy and optimism because we know God is good. But that's kind of the prayer petition, you know, and I've seen it happen before. I remember when Mother Teresa died back in 1996, 1997, I was, newly ordained priest. I was in Pittsburgh. The Bishop of Pittsburgh at that time, Bishop Wuerl, made sure every priest working in the diocese had a copy of a book called Mother Teresa in My Own Words. And, I greatly admired Mother Teresa. A great example, working with the poorest of the poor and herself being poor and simple and humble and just very attractive witness to the Christian life. And this book was divided in chapters. And one chapter was on the Blessed Mother. And I liked the way she wrote. And maybe she didn't write this, maybe people wrote it down for her, but she said when she was beginning her work with the poor and the sick and lepers in Calcutta, she needed a building, but she didn't have any money. She didn't know anyone. So she decided to pray 85,000 memoraries, which is an unusual number. And I think 2 days into it, she realized, I can never pray 85,000 memoraries by myself. I'd go stir crazy. So she taught the prayer to everybody working with her and the sick and the dying who weren't even baptized, right? Because their prayer can have merit too.
Mm-hmm. And they receive grace from that then.
Well, they receive grace.
Yeah.
Right. I can't articulate all the technical aspects of it as Thomas Aquinas could, but I do know that one of the most famous prayers that we pray at Mass every day, Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, that was a prayer from somebody who wasn't even baptized.
Right.
Right, the centurion. Yep. So it's the natural grace. Anyway, she taught this prayer, and in no time, they had a building. So when I was involved with the beginning of Aquinas Academy in Pittsburgh back in 1996, I said, you know what we need to do? We need to pray a million memoraries for our new school. So it fills up, got our own building, and we've got plenty of resources. Well, that took 7 years, but now it's like the best Catholic school in all of Pennsylvania, 450, 500 youngsters, pre-K through freshman or senior year high school. And I've used that strategy a number of times to get a chapel built at Northridge Prep, to build up the enrollment at Embridge Elementary School, and then for the pledge drives at Relevant Radio. And then as soon as we did the merger with Mac at Heart Radio 5 years ago, I said, okay, now we're reaching 140 million people. Let's see what this baby can do. Okay, we've got the V8. Let's open it up. Let's put it on steroids. Let's get the bishops, the cardinals, the kids praying the memory. Let's see what this thing can do, right? Yeah. So we're using mass media to move the masses to the mass, and we're using that time on air to invite people to pray the memorare, to invite our – I don't know what else we can do, right? I mean, we could maybe rent planes like Geico does and do ads over beaches, you know, with the banners. Hey, you down there. You know, or you could take that scene out of
– Wouldn't that be awesome to see a plane flying over inviting people to pray the memorare?
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
Or we could take that – that scene out of what's that movie with the Blues Brothers?
The Blues Brothers.
Yeah, it's what it's called, right? It's called the Blues Brothers. Yeah. All right. So they're out in their car with a big speaker on top of the car by the lake in Wakanda, whatever, Bangs Lake, right? And they're tonight, they're out there doing mad marketing, right? I don't know what else to do.
Yeah. Well, if you'd like to join and unite your prayers, you can find the memorare meter on our website, relevantradio.com.
Well, let me say something about
that. Yeah, go ahead.
Because some people will say God's not interested in numbers, right? You need to feed the sheep, not count the sheep. And I've thought, and I did a little minute on this. I said, I've been thinking about that. I said, well, wait a second. There's a whole book of numbers in the Old Testament. And everywhere you look in the Bible, there's numbers. We know how many apostles there were, 12. How do you know? Well, he counted them. We know how many disciples there were. How many? 72. How do we know that? He counted them. We know how many people were fed, 5,000, not counting women and children.
And the number of fish and loaves that he used.
Fish and loaves. We know about that, right?
Right.
We also know how many fish they caught, that miraculous catch of fish, 153. If something's important to you, count it, all right? Every day they print statistics in the sports page about Major League Baseball and football and hockey, and every day they print in the financial section of the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times how these things are doing, you know, in terms of investments. So, you know, numbers are important. It's not the only thing. You know, success is not what's important. But I think if you don't have tangible goals, people don't do anything. Right?
Well,
that's how we're wired.
And that's even, God even asks at different points. I mean, Joshua, you know, at the Battle of Jericho, walked for seven days.
And absolutely. And in Rome, they've got this annual yearbook called the Annuario Pontificio. It's, you know, thousands of pages long, and it's got nothing but numbers in it, right? So numbers are, I think Jesus thought they're important.
Yeah.
It's not the only thing,
right?
You know, you're not going to win at Jericho?
Well, so they had to walk around for 7 days,
one time around the
city walls each day, and on the seventh day, they had to walk around it seven times. And then without doing anything else, they all shouted, the trumpets blared,
and
the walls crumbled.
Right. I remember suggesting that to some people who are doing some pro-life prayers. I said, why don't you walk around this place seven times and see what happens? Well, they did, and they prayed, but
still standing, right?
But actually, now it's closed.
Well, good.
Yeah,
and I mean, that again is the power of prayer.
Right,
we've heard that at a lot of different places. You know,
but what was that one where he had like 3,000 soldiers and then he had to send them down to the...
Right. Was that with Gideon?
Gideon, yeah. And they had, and those who drank like dogs, he
right.
put
anybody
on
who
his,
drank
up.
Out of their hands, but those who laid down to drink, they removed them. Yeah.
And that was to prove that the battle was the Lord's and not Gideon's,
right?
That was the Lord's.
Well, and there's a reason, even after Jericho, they never walked around a city again, that God would use different ways. So they never got comfortable in the way that God provided for them in the book of Judges, as we're reading about Joshua and Judges. You have to trust God that he's going to provide for you, and you don't get comfortable that, oh, well, we did it. We walked around the city, and it's our own efforts, our own strength.
Maybe that's why it didn't work.
Maybe. Father, before we go to a break here, let's go to the phones. Again, talking with Father Rocky here.
We've been
on the
talking
Inner Life.
Too much. Let these poor people in.
Our phone number is 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149, as we talk about the power of prayer here on The Inner Life today. And Father, Hope is listening to us in Chicago. Hi, Hope. Thanks for calling in. You're on the air with Father Rocky.
Hello, Hope.
Hi, Father. Nice to meet you.
My pleasure. Thanks for calling in. How can we help you today?
Wes, I have a little problem with my prayer. This has been for a long time. I'm a very good server of God. I love him very much, and I serve the church, my church, well, everybody's church. And I do a lot of things in the church, but my problem is that I cannot get to pray. I'm sorry. I feel embarrassed about it, but I cannot pray. It's too hard for me. I want to pray, but always comes something that it just doesn't let me pray.
So, Hope, and have you ever heard the story? Have you ever heard the story about Martha and Mary in the New Testament? You remember that one?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So you're kind of like Martha, right? You're doing all the work, and
yes,
you have a hard time praying. So the thing to do is figure out how to do the work of Martha with the spirit of Mary. So if you're in the church, and the Blessed Sacrament is there in the tabernacle, and you're doing some work there, say, Jesus, I'm working right now, and I'm doing it for you. And I don't know how to pray, but I'm here for you. And guess what? That's prayer. How about that? So sometimes when I go to pray, I sit there and say, Lord, I don't know what to say, but this is your time. It's not my time. I think like I'm going to visit an old person in a nursing home. I'm thinking, Jesus, how's your day today? You know, there he is in the tabernacle. And it's almost like he's saying, what do you think it's like sitting in the tabernacle all day? How would you like to sit in the tabernacle all day? Okay, well, I'm here to visit a little bit, spend a little time. I'll bet you can do that, Hope.
Hope, thanks for the call. We do need to take our next break here. And again, want to invite your phone call if you're listening and like to speak with Father Rocky, 888-914-9149. As we're talking about spending time in prayer, how we can grow in our prayer experience, how we can better understand that time of prayer. And the way that God responds to us, understanding how God responds, maybe those times where we're not getting an immediate response. And you can call in with your questions at 888-914-9149. We'll be right back after this here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. We receive over 1 million prayer requests every year, thanks in part to the Catholic Order of Foresters studio line, helping us stay connected to your intentions. Learn how our sponsor can support your family with life insurance at relevantradio.com/Forester, an Illinois life insurance society not available in all states. Welcome back to The Inner Life on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm Josh Raymond, and so glad to have you here with us during this hour of The Inner Life. If you've just joined us in the last several minutes and you want to hear the earlier portion of the hour, you can always find the podcast at our website, relevantradio.com, or on the free Relevant Radio app. And I encourage you to download that, and you can find our past shows there, too. Also want to say thank you to Nick Centovich and Thomas Engesser for their help in producing the program today. Our spiritual director this hour, Father Rocky, he is the CEO and chairman here at Relevant Radio. And of course, you hear him daily on the Family Rosary across America at 7 p.m. Central each evening as he invites you to pray along with him and also to call in with your own prayer intentions so that across the country, even around the world, as people are listening online, you can unite your prayers together and really storm the gates of heaven. And talking about prayer today here as well on The Inner Life, and Father, we've talked a lot about making those ongoing requests, and I guess there's two things that might be good to talk about here. One is we got to be careful not to treat God like a vending machine. You know, if we pray this, then we get that. You know, that's not what it's about. And you talked about prayer is really about relationship. You know, it's not just to get something. If all I'm after is just getting the miracle, I'm missing the main point of prayer in the relationship. There's also, though, maybe we can talk about, too, with those ongoing petitions. You mentioned the widow who goes to that judge, and he's not a nice judge, you know, he's an unjust judge, and then God uses that, or Jesus uses that to say, God the Father, how much more will he listen to you, because he is all good, all loving, when you present your request to him. So when we go to God and we continue to bring those petitions, At what point, when we have not received an answer that is a yes, or the miracle hasn't happened, or whatever it is that we're asking for hasn't come through, when do we know that maybe God is telling us, no, I'm not going to grant that? You know, St. Paul, sure, he had the thorn in the flesh. I asked 3 times for this to be removed, and God said no. So how do we know?
God said, my grace is sufficient.
My grace is sufficient. That's right.
So prayer is a conversation with God, and what we're talking about here is prayer, petition, asking God for something. And the way the saints and theologians will tease us out, in the first place, we should ask for those things that give God glory. And he certainly will hear that and answer that. What gives God glory? Our own sanctification, our imitation with Christ, becoming another Christ. And then we should ask for those things that we personally want that may be of a material nature. You know, I want good health. I want a good job. I want to meet the right person to marry. I want these blessings on my children. And very similar to how we see people in the New Testament approaching Jesus, like the Roman centurion. Lord, my servant needs to be healed, right? So he didn't think that was anything spiritual. It was very physical, right? Other people are hungry. Or the widow at Nain, she was devastated because her child had died, or the parents of that 12-year-old girl. So I would be very simple in the way you approach God. If it's something you want, ask for it. If it's not a good thing, God won't give it to you, just like any parent. I'm sure you've had children, Josh, who beg you for stuff, and you know it's within your power to give it to them, but this is not the right time for
not
it.
Not the right time. I had that happen last night. Can I have a donut as soon as she got home? Well, you got to eat some real food first.
Sure.
Then you can have the donut.
You know, and as a kid, I'd ask my parents for a motorcycle, and then they said, no, that's not for you. And it took me years to figure out that they really knew what they were doing. You know, that might be fine for some people. It wouldn't have been good for me. So, you know, Jesus says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you will find, knock and you'll be opened. And it also says, pray and pray always. And what happens here, at least this is my experience, you may not get what you ask for, but you'll be completely convinced God heard your prayer and has given you what is good, right? And is good for
and
you.
What is better than
what
maybe
better.
What you originally
That's right.
asked
so
for.
So I want this. I've asked for it. I know God heard my prayer. I know that. See, that's where you have to get to. You got to get to the subjective conviction, God heard your prayer.
Right.
Because how else could he not?
So
right?
Let's
and
also,
they didn't get it. So, okay, there's something better going on here. Now, it may take years for you to figure out.
Okay, well, that's where I was going to go next because, yeah, what if you are asking? You know, James, I mentioned this to you during the break. In the New Testament, James writes about you don't receive because you don't ask. So that's lesson one. Don't expect to get something if you're not going to ask God for it. But number two, he says, and you don't receive because you ask with wrong motives. So
right.
How do we foster that mentality that Jesus shows in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but your will?
Well, that requires real humility and openness to know what God's will is. Ultimately, God's will is our sanctification. And that's what we should pray for. Lord, my only prayer is one day I want to get to heaven. You know, by hook or by crook, that's what I want. That's the only
Whatever
thing that
matters. It takes.
Whatever it takes. All right, so if I have to be purified, if I need to do my purgatory here on earth, and I want my friends and my relatives to get to heaven too. That's the basic prayer. But if you're going to leave me down here on earth for a while, yeah, I'd like to see the Cubs win the World Series at least once in my life. All right.
I'd like my knee to stop hurting a little.
Yeah, I'd like this traffic jam to
sure.
disappear.
Uh-huh.
You know, throw me some, you know, favors from here from time to time. So I think we can be very simple in our prayer, but then we're convinced that, you know, God does know best. And he works through those difficulties and those sufferings and those setbacks. And we're at peace with that, all right? And we know God is always at work. And there's no such thing as bad luck, right? There's no such thing as coincidence,
right?
God is always at work. And what we need to do is be attentive. Okay, what is the Lord trying to teach me here in this moment? And sometimes we have failures. And, well, you know, I always have these failures. Maybe God is helping us to be humble, which is far more important than success.
Yeah.
Right, because if we're not humble, we can't be at peace. And pride is the worst sin of all. It can get in there and overwhelm us.
Father, I want to thank you for being here for the hour. People, if they want to have an opportunity to meet you, you're going to be on that Walk to Mary, that 21-mile pilgrimage coming up in about a week and a half, May 7th. That's a Saturday.
Right. And usually I start out at the very beginning,
okay,
and I wind up at the very end.
You just move from the front of the line to the back of the line during the course of that. Yeah.
They all pass me by.
So again, that's the Walk to Mary that's coming up Saturday, May 7th. And you can find information about that. You can register at walktomary.com is the website, walktomary.com. And as we talked about earlier in the hour, you don't have to do the full 21 miles. You can do 14 miles. You can do 7. You can do 2. It starts at the National Shrine of St. Joseph in De Pere, Wisconsin, just right next door to Green Bay. And it finishes at the only approved Marian apparition site in the U.S., Our Lady of Good Help there in northeastern Wisconsin. Father, we've got about 40, 45 seconds. Could I ask you to offer a blessing to all of our listeners?
Sure, happy to do so. So whoever you are, wherever you are, if you're at home or in a car, in a plane, a train, in the airport, may the Lord bless you. So through the intercession of Our Lady of Guadalupe, St. Joseph, St. Jose Maria, St. Michael the Archangel, may the Lord bless you. May you greet him along the way, and may his angels protect you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Josh.
It's always so good to talk with you, Father. Hopefully we can do this a little more often in
the
future.
Love to do it.
Excellent. Thanks so much for listening to The Inner Life. Again, if you joined us late, you can find the podcast at relevantradio.com or on the Relevant Radio app. Stay tuned. We've got Mass that's coming up right after this in about 30 seconds or so here. And then The Faith Explained with Cale Clark. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about how we can be reconciled to Christ. Those times where we fail him, well, kind of like St. Peter when he denied Christ. We're going to hear that reading coming up at Mass on Sunday. So we'll talk about that. Hope you can join us here on The Inner Life tomorrow. Have a blessed day.